your Bibles, if you would, please, and turn to Ephesians chapter 6 with me tonight. Ephesians chapter 6, we had a great day already, and I don't anticipate it being any different tonight. We had 181 in connection classes this morning. We had lots of visits made this week, and praise the Lord for that. And so thank you for all of your hard work. We are having sowing tomorrow night, and we're going to stay with it. Just stay with it all the way to the end, man. We just don't want to quit. Until Jesus comes. We'll work till Jesus comes. And that's what it's all about. Ephesians chapter 6. I'll stand together as we read God's word. Ephesians 6 and verse number 13. Ephesians 6 and verse 13. If you notice inside your bulletin is the notes for tonight. This is lesson number 11 in our discipleship series. We're going to be wrapping up on Wednesday night. We want to get it done before the first of the year. And we've had a few little interruptions here that's kind of messed up our schedule just a little bit. So this is sort of a little bit of a catch-up night. And we want to get this this squared away so that we can be ready to go first of the year to disciple all these new Christians and help them in their walk with the Lord. I want to speak on the subject tonight and teach the lesson so that, and again, for those of you who have not been here on a Wednesday night, we've been teaching the church family a discipleship series of lessons. We call it First Steps. And we're answering questions that Christians might have, new believers might have. And we come to lesson number 11, and here's a question that I've been asked a lot. Now that I'm a Christian, will my life be peaceful all the time? That's the question I'm asked. You know, is my life going to now be peaceful? You know, now that I'm a Christian and the Bible says I have peace with God, that means I have peace in everything, right? Well, look at verse number 13. The Bible says, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints." Let's go back up to verse number 12. We sort of skipped that verse, but I think that verse is just as important as the other verses here, so let's not overlook that one. Notice what it says. It says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Thank you, and you may be seated. Somewhere along the way, people have been taught that when you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, that you will have absolute, total peace, harmony, no more difficulties. Life is now going to be a bed of roses for you. Nothing can be further from the truth. No doubt about it, when you read the disciples' lives, I would say that it was far from a bed of roses. In fact, Jesus told them, "If any of you would be my disciple, let him take up his cross and follow me." When we receive Jesus Christ as Savior, I want us to be clear and let's review what that means. That means that we realize that we're sinners. We're imperfect before a holy God. That means that we recognize the fact that since we are sinners, we are in a condition that we cannot do anything about. We need a Savior. And Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, and He came and died on the cross for our sins. He was buried, He was crucified, buried, and He rose again the third day. And by believing on Jesus Christ as our only Savior, our only hope of salvation, by trusting in Him, receiving Him as our personal Savior, calling on His name, then we're saved. Thank God that He made it that simple. And the Bible said that we did it by grace through faith. So that's what it means to be a Christian. And the moment I got saved, life didn't all of a sudden become a bed of roses. But thank God, I have a promise that I'm going to be in heaven with Jesus Christ. I have a heaven waiting for me. But until then, I'm still in this world. And there are four common enemies that the Bible describes that all of us have that fight against us. While our salvation is sure, while our hope of heaven is secure, while we know that the Bible says that when we receive Jesus Christ as Savior, He gives to us eternal life. We have that. That's clear. But there's also going to be, in that, there's going to be battles. And the battle is not to take away our salvation. That's secure in Christ. But the battle is that the devil wants our joy to be destroyed. That we, and rather than live the Christian life in joy, that we endure the Christian life in pain. And the choice becomes ours. How do we deal with that? How are we going to get through this battle? Are we going to struggle through it? How are we going to get through it? Well, we need to understand a little bit about the enemies. It's always good to know something about the enemies. There are four. Let me call your attention to all four of them. The very first that we all deal with is the flesh. The flesh is clearly an enemy that I deal with. In fact, the Bible makes that very clear in 1 Peter. Notice what he says. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which, notice, war against the soul. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. If you notice here that we struggle with the flesh. See, I think sometimes we give the devil too much credit for things. We think the devil causes us to not read our Bibles, and the devil causes us to do all these things. And well, there may be some truth to that, but not always that's the case. Sometimes it's just the flesh. My flesh just gets lazy. My flesh just resists me coming to church. My flesh keeps me from doing the things that God asks of me to do. And sometimes my flesh urges me to do things that I should not do. And I battle with the flesh. But God says that's not the only enemy. And that's a real enemy. That I deal with that. But there's another enemy he mentions. So we have four enemies. Number one's the flesh. Secondly, I want you to notice, not only do we have the flesh, but we have the devil himself. And the devil is a powerful foe. He's called Satan, the devil. Other names in the Bible. He's called the old dragon. That's what the Bible says. But notice in 1 Peter 5 in verse 8 and 9, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resists steadfast in the faith, knowing that same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. He says we have the devil. He's out there lurking. He's like the lion that looked for prey. He's looking for a weak spot. He's looking for something in your life. He's out here lurking around somewhere, some way to get you. And I have to learn to deal with that. I have to be aware of that. So we have the flesh, we have the devil. But thirdly, according to verse number 11, and we didn't read that, but let's look at we did read verse 12. It's verse 12 is what I want to focus on. But verse 11 tells me how I deal with it. It says, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. And what he's talking about here is that we also have to fight demons. Demons are in our world. Sometimes people like to make fun of them, make you know, jokes about them. But the fact is that they're very real and they're everywhere around us. Demons are there. And when we look into the scriptures, God says that we have to learn how to deal with these. So we have the flesh. We have the devil himself. We have the demons who are his angels. But that's not the only enemy. We have one more. 1 John 2 tells us about the world is our enemy. The world. The Bible says in 1 John 2 in verses 15 through 17, love not the world, neither the things are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So the world here is not dealing with, when he uses that term world, the earth, the dirt on the ground. That's not what he's talking about. Or the trees. Or the air. It's not talking about that. Nor is it talking about the people that are on the earth that we're not to love. He's not talking about people. He's not talking about earth or the ground or anything like that. He's talking about a system. A world system. This system is controlled primarily by Satan and his demons. The system is against God. This system is against the things of God. This system is against Bible truth. And God says that we deal with the world system. And we have to learn how to resist that. So these four enemies seem really big, don't they? They seem really large, almost looming over us every day, and they're there. There's no doubt about that. So the question then that when I'm asked, will my life be peaceful at all times if all of these enemies are destroyed? The answer is yes. But the truth is that doesn't happen that way. It's just not that simple. So what I want us to consider is this. We must be aware that there is a battle. And that battle is very real. In fact, look at verse number 18 again. Let me show you what the Bible says in verse 18. There's two words at the very first part of that verse. The very first two words. What does it say? Praying always. You know why? Because the reality of it is that the battle is all the time. Not just sometime, it's all the time. It is a very real battle. It's always, always there. So we need to be aware of it. Now, we don't have to go and find a battle, it finds us. You know, I don't go out and look for some war to get into. It's coming after me. So it becomes personal then. It is a personal battle that I have to face. The devil is always coming after us. He's always trying to take our joy away because he can't take our salvation away. Even though we may think we're the only ones in this battle, I can assure you it is everyone that fights this battle. All of us do. It is, though it's personal, it's a common problem for everybody. Look at 1 Corinthians 10, 13. Look in your notes there. I wrote it for you because it explains that for us very, very clearly. Notice what it says. It says, there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to, what's it say? Man. It doesn't say spiritual man. Doesn't say young man. Doesn't say old man. It says man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. So what he's saying then is that since this battle is a personal battle, it's a common battle that every believer deals with. All of us deal with. We deal with the world. And the world is out there bombarding us with all of these promises of joy and of peace and of happiness and all of those things. The world just brings all that our way. And then the devil, on top of all that, he's coming and he's trying to lurk and find us and get us in our weak moments and weak times. And then you have demons that's working against us. And on top of that, our flesh is wanting to give in to the world or give in to that which is least resistant to everything else. We kind of just, let's just give up and go along with everything. So it's a personal battle. Even the Apostle Paul dealt with it. Can I get you to go to Romans chapter 7 for just a moment? I want you to see that Paul dealt with it. And I'll tell you, Paul might be one of the greatest Christians in the New Testament we read about. And yet Paul dealt with the same spiritual struggles that all of us deal with. Now, as a new Christian, it's really important that you know about that. Because you're going to find that when you deal with this struggle in your life, you'll be tempted to say, I must have not gotten it right. I must have messed up somewhere. I must not have this right. Or maybe I'm not saved anymore. Or maybe I'm just not doing what is right. Let me tell you, the closer you get to God, the bigger the battle will get. There's no doubt about it. Look at Romans 7 and verse 14. Here's what Paul says when he's talking about, this is a struggle, and this is, by the way, he's struggling with the flesh in this passage. He says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal," that deals with flesh, "sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consider the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I then find a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. If you notice here, Paul uses the word I many times. Because the truth of the matter is, when we are wrapped up in I doing it, we're going to fail every time. Our flesh will fight against what we're trying to do in living for the Lord. So it's personal. It's a very personal battle. Second of all, it is a powerful battle. There's no doubt in verses 11 and 12 that the Bible says that God is warning us about what Satan brings our way. Notice he uses the word the wiles of the devil. I looked up that word. I wanted to understand what it meant. It's an interesting word. It's the word methodia. That's the word, which means this. It means the methods and schemes of Satan. That's what it has reference to. So it's the scheming that Satan has. Satan is an excellent schemer in our life. He's excellent at trying to get us off track and away from God by scheming things within our life. That's what he's referring to. And he wants us to be aware of that when you and I are trying to live for God and trying to serve God and trying to do the right thing, that behind the scenes, Satan could be scheming a plan to try to destroy you. And I know the devil does that. He's very good at it. I can illustrate for you one. In the Old Testament, we go all the way back to Genesis chapter 3. We look in Genesis chapter 3 and we find Jesus, or we find rather Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, and Satan came in the form of a serpent to Eve. And as that serpent was conversing with Eve, and I guess I'm struggling a little bit because I always thought women were afraid of snakes. So I don't really quite figure this one out. But the truth of the matter is, they were conversing, and he was lying to Eve to get her to worship him rather than God. That's his scheme. And she fell into the trap, and then her husband fell in the trap, and that's how Satan works. He just works that way. So when you look into the Bible, you have to understand this battle that we're fighting, this flesh, the world, the devil, the demons, all of that is a very powerful battle. It's very powerful. And if you find yourself failing, you're in good company because we're all failures. No doubt about that. And God is just trying to get us this. The reason why we wait till we get to the end here is because we want to give you a lesson to make you aware of what you deal with every day, as all of us have to deal with those things. So what do we do then? How do we deal with all this? Well, the Bible tells us we're to arm ourselves. We're told to put on the armor so that we go out each day. And Paul is writing this to the Ephesians, who were used to the Roman guards in the first century. They would see the Roman soldiers that as they put on all of their armor and they would go out to protect the empire from any insurrection or any enemies or anything that would potentially be a danger to the king or to the empire itself. And the Bible says that you and I, we're to put on spiritual armor as we face these enemies every day. Now, how do we do that? Well, we have to do that. There's a couple of ways we do it. First of all, we must crucify the flesh. You got to put the flesh to death. Romans 6 tells us how to do that. It says, neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. You know what God is saying? He says, here's what we need to do. We need to make sure that we yield ourselves to God and destroy our yieldedness to the flesh. I do not want to yield to the flesh. So what that means simply is this, that if there's things that are carnal in my life, I need to make sure that I die those, that I make sure they crucify those things, that they're dead in my life. So that may mean that I have to get rid of things out of my life that are fleshly things. Things that could take me away from God. Yeah, I may have to get some new music or get rid of some maybe videos or get things out of my life that have been there that are carnal and fleshly. So I have to, you know, otherwise that battle is going to be there all the time. It's going to be constantly battling me. And remember what I said. I'm not looking for some battle. The battle is going to find me. I want to make sure that I eliminate any problems with having those things right at my fingertips. I want to keep the battle outside, not bring it in. So Paul says we got to crucify the flesh. And then when we crucify the flesh, the next thing we do is we put on the spiritual armor. The parts of the armor reflect different parts of spiritual growth in my life. If you notice here, the Bible spells it out for us. Each part of the armor has a name. If you notice in verse number 13 there, look at it. It says, wherefore, take you in the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with, there's truth, and the breastplate of righteousness. Verse 15, your feet shall with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Verse 16, the shield of faith. All of these parts of the armor, as you see, helmet of salvation, verse 17, sword of the Spirit, Word of God. All of these parts of the armor, if you notice, every one of them are connected with a name, a word. Faith, righteousness, truth. Now what is really interesting is, these are areas, number one, of spiritual growth, but all of them, if you're putting on the armor, refers to putting on Jesus Christ. Because every one of those words in those verses not only point to the armor, but it points to Jesus Christ. That I'm going to, when I get up in the morning, that I don't want to get up in the morning and just ignore my time with God and ignore praying and talking to God. That I want to put God on when I go out. Because I know I'm going to face a battle out there. I know it's going to be there. So putting on this. In fact, you say, where do you get that from? In the Bible. Look at verse number 10. Verse number 10 unlocks these other verses we just read. Look what it says. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the what? Lord. I'm to put on the armor, which in essence is I'm putting on the Lord. I'm to be strong in the Lord. I cannot be strong in myself. We've already found out that my flesh can fight against me. We've already found out that the world's not my friend. I've already know that the devil's going to be attacking me. So how am I going to be able to handle that? The only way is by being strong in the Lord. I must rely on the Lord. You say, how do you do that? Verse 18 told me. Two words. Praying always. Praying always. That's how I do it. The only means of defeat to Satan and the flesh and the world and the demons is the power of God. I need God's strength. We need God daily to help us. If we don't have God to help us, we'll fail every time. We'll give in. In fact, when we have failed to pray as we ought, and when we have failed to do what we ought, that's when we gave in. That's when we sinned. But thanks be to God that we still have forgiveness with Him. Amen? And what God is reminding me is that I'm going to have a battle every day until my life ends. It doesn't matter how old you are, how long you've been saved, how mature you are, where you are in your life, you are going to deal with it. But the truth of the matter is, with God, we have victory through His power to overcome these things. You can do it. And I just think it's really important that all of us make sure that when we teach this lesson, and when we look at this lesson in the Bible, that we understand that, because that is very, very critical for the success of any new Christian, because they deal with the same battle just like we do. And we want them to be able to have the same victory we have through the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, let's take a few moments, just like we always do on Wednesday night, and there's questions to consider. Would you please take just a few minutes? We'll take just a couple of quiet moments here and write in your notes there questions to consider based on the lesson we just looked at. Flesh, devil, and the world. Demons in the world. All right, number two. What are we told about the devil in 1 Peter 5:8? Walks about seeking whom he may devour. Keep that in mind. He's out there. Number three, what should our attitude be towards the world? Not love the world. You know, if you're in love with the world, the Bible says the love of the Father is not in you. Christians should not be in love with the world. In other words, let's just put it to you this way. If we, those of us who love God, we would much rather die and go to heaven than be disappointed because we did die and go to heaven. You know, I'm a little concerned when people are so in love with the world that they will be disappointed. Man, if I die today, I'd really be disappointed. No, we should be glad to be with our Savior. The love of the world has gripped us, if that's our heart. So, all right, that's what he's talking about. Number four, what does the word world refer to in 1 John 2:15? An ungodly system, a godless pagan system. All right, number five, how long would the battle continue? Until death. We're going to deal with it. Number six, what type of battle did Paul deal with in Romans 7, verses 15 through 25? flesh. He dealt with it. It's there. And number seven, when am I to put on the whole armor? When am I to put on the armor to guarantee my victory? Daily. Daily. Not weekly. Daily. Because otherwise, I'll be defeated. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, tonight we realize we are in a battle. Lord, we know that we're battling a godless system of the world. We know that our flesh resists everything that we do. We know that trying to do right. And we know that, Lord, that the devil is out here trying to devour us. And Lord, I pray that you'd please give us victory in our life. Lord, we ask that you would teach us and guide us now. Perhaps some of us have found ourselves so in love with the world we've yielded to the things of the world. We pray, Lord, you'd forgive us. Lord, we're asking tonight that you might guide and direct every person in this room. Lord, we're asking that each of us might become aware of the powerful pull of the enemies and those things in the world that are out there to get us. And Lord, we're asking you to give us victory through the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.